Mark Latham, there's some nervousness about Labor's federal chances, especially given the Western Australian result on the weekend. The party's former leader in Western Australia, Jeff Gallop, says it looks like voters have given up on Labor, and the former state minister, Alana McTiernan, says Ms Gillard should quit. Do you think it's too late for the party and the Prime Minister to turn their prospects around for September?
Oh, no, it's never too late in politics. I can remember an opposition leader at the beginning of 2004 who was 10 points ahead on the two-party preferred vote and then lost by six. So in politics, things can change. The challenge for the Gillard government, and to some extent the nation, is to understand the extent of Australia's economic success and the threat that's posed by Tony Abbott's wacky policies. So in politics, substance pushes through, and the substance of the Australian political debate should be about the economy. Now, of course, Western Australia is different. But even there, the two leaders, Barnett and McGowan, have acknowledged that the result was overwhelmingly a product of state issues, and that is a long-standing trend. We can all remember when the Howard government was at its peak, it was still possible for state Labor to get thumping majorities in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. So different federal and state trends are very much a feature of Australian politics.
The Australian Workers' Union Secretary Paul Howes, who's previously been quite critical of you, says the ideas in your quarterly essay should be debated, except those recommendations regarding union influence and diluting union influence. What happens if Labor isn't able to or willing to do that?
Well, I acknowledge in my quarterly essay that while it's desirable that Labor would break the union link, it's not going to happen in practice. So what we need is enlightened union leadership within the Labor Party to acknowledge that unions perhaps comprise only 10% of the voting public these days, and you need to broaden the political party much more. So we have had that enlightened leadership from the next generation of Labor activists. Sam Dastyari in New South Wales has put forward the community pre-selection model, primary voters, where people in the general public can have their say, and I think that's a very good reform where you'd become a Labor MP not by getting the nod from a faction or union leader, but by proving your community credentials, persuading people at the local level that you're the right person, you've got the right ideas for the country's future. So it really does rely on people like Howes and Dastyari to get this right. They're the hope of the future, and hopefully they can find some useful ideas in my essay.
You also argue that it would be good politics to put Kevin Rudd in charge of the Climate Change Department now, make him Climate Change Minister, and that the party find a way to persuade the public about this issue. Why? Why do you argue those things?
Well, Rudd is a very good public persuader. He can argue the case. He once said that climate change was the great moral challenge of our time. And I would appeal to him that it's a much better use of his talents and capacities in life to undertake a very important job like that. It is the big issue for the next 50, 100 years. Much better utilisation of Rudd's talents than being Labor's destabiliser-in-chief, causing all this mischief off the backbench. So it's time for him and others to pull their heads in and put him in a job where he can do something useful for the country for a change.
You think he'd be better placed there than taking over the reins of the party itself?
Well, there aren't too many examples where these last-minute leadership changes are productive. You mentioned the Western Australian result. They got rid of Eric Ripper, the Labor leader, who had wonderful economic credibility. Barnett's weakness was on the fiscal management. And they put in McGowan, the Labor Party put in Mark McGowan, who came up with an expensive transport plan that wasn't costed properly. And their economic credibility suffered. So, you know, these last-minute changes, when have they ever worked successfully? Not in Canberra, not in New South Wales, not in Western Australia. If you want to repeat those mistakes, you're free to, but surely people can learn the lessons of history.
The title of your essay is Not Dead Yet, but if the party doesn't embrace the sorts of progressive policies on climate change and embrace the social reforms of the Hawke and Keating era, as you argue in the essay, is it as good as dead?
Well, I'd hate to think that was the case, but those Hawke-Keating economic reforms have been a missed opportunity, a tragic missed opportunity for modern Labor. The whole Australian story at the moment is about economic success. This is the product of Labor reforms in the 80s and 90s. And for the party to have walked away from that post-1996 defeat, and even today, you mentioned Jeff Gallop. I had to debate on Sky News with him yesterday whether or not it was right to privatise the Commonwealth Bank. Well, you know, people would think Gallop was one of the better Labor people around. Do we have to go through arguments from 20 years ago about whether the Commonwealth Bank comes back into public ownership? This is lunacy. But unfortunately, on the economic front, there's a lot of lunacy in the ranks of the modern Labor Party. Why can't they understand the Hawke-Keating model was successful and you'd have no better way forward for a political party than to repeat that success in the future?
Your idea is that they're not new, but I guess it's the first time that they've been synthesised into one essay. If the polls are right, the party is headed for a major defeat in September. Is that perhaps what it will take for the party to embrace change?
Well, you'd hate to see that because so many good people lose their spot in Parliament. But it's also true to say that working with a clean slate means there's less resistance to reform. In New South Wales, post the state defeat, there's a chance for young reformers to come through and remake the party. And in light of the ICAC inquiry and other disgraceful scandals, it's urgently needed. So there is less resistance to change in the wake of a heavy defeat. Now, I don't want to see that in September, but certainly reformers, good-minded people, good-hearted people in the Labor movement should be getting ready for significant reform. No matter the result in September, they should be getting ready for significant reform after the federal election, and if they don't do that, then they just perpetuate the problems that we've got at the moment.
You argue, you talk about industry support, things that Labor has particularly pushed forward, like support for the car industry, that that kind of protectionism is pointless and that it's dead-end policy for Labor. How does the party do that? How does it jettison that, given it is popular amongst some sections of the community and it's crucial to its union base for it to argue this?
Well, that's the point, that if you run policy for a union base, which is a 10% of the voting public, it's an interest group, then you end up with interest group results come election time. And we've seen this steady decline in Labor's primary vote. You've got to govern on economic policy for the national interest. And whether you think ideologically Hawke and Keating were right in the 80s, they certainly had the right focus on national economic growth. And that's where you've got to set your policies. And this protectionist sentiment, these old economic ideas are still prevalent through the Labor movement. Industry support for car companies, big multinationals, the recent policy announcement, they're embedding bureaucrats in big mining companies in WA to teach them how to buy Australian. I mean, where does this stuff come from? It's just an economic relic. No modern economic thinker would look at the issues this way, and you can't run a national economy this way successfully. So Labor's got to get back to the model that worked. Economic openness and deregulation is the way of the future because it's worked in the past, and Labor's got to understand that.
On a personal note, you acknowledge in the essay that you were too young to be the Labor leader, too inexperienced, and that your policy experience was undercooked, to put it in a simple way. Do you regret that you were the leader now, and do you regret the circumstances under which you left the party?
Oh, not in the sense that leaving has given me a much better life. I mean, the joy of spending golden moments with my children. I remember one of the outgoing Liberal MPs, Smith from Tasmania, once said to me, "Oh, every moment you miss with your children growing up because of politics is a moment you never get back." And I see the wisdom of that now, so I don't regret anything because life is great. But I do hope, through this contribution in the quarterly essay, people could think, oh, well, sure, Latham's a has-been and Latham stuffed up and Latham got things wrong. But out of mistakes, you do learn things, and with a bit of mature reflection on those things, you can put forward some lessons for the next generation. I haven't written this essay for the Labor caucus there in Canberra. I've written it for the next generation of Labor activists, and hopefully they can get some tips out of it from a not so much a wise old man, but a middle-aged wise fella who made a few mistakes and doesn't want other people to repeat those mistakes.
Was one of those mistakes also publishing the Latham Diaries? Do you regret that?
Oh, no, it was an honest and frank assessment of what had gone wrong, what happened. Everyone else was having their say, often with background briefings to the journalist. My style is to put my name. You know, it's an old-fashioned concept. You put your name to your words. I find it a more honourable way to live life. And those diaries, in many respects, set out the nature of the problems inside the Labor Party. And perhaps instead of bagging me uphill and down Dale at the time, people should have looked at the underlying message and made some changes.